Exodus 27, verses 9 through 19, these are God's words. You shall also make the court of the tabernacle. For the south side there shall be hangings for the court made of fine woven linen, 100 cubits long for one side. And its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets shall be bronze. The hooks of the pillars and their bands shall be silver. Likewise, along the length of the north side there shall be hangings, 100 cubits long, with its 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of bronze, and the hooks of the pillars and their bands of silver. And along the width of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, with their 10 pillars and their 10 sockets. The width of the court on the east side shall be 50 cubits. The hangings on one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And on the other side there shall be hangings of 15 cubits, with their 3 pillars and their 3 sockets. And for the gate of the court there shall be a screen 20 cubits long, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and 5 fine woven linen made by a weaver. It shall have 4 pillars and 4 sockets. And the pillars round the court shall have bands of silver. Their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of bronze. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, the width 50 throughout, and the height 5 cubits, made of fine woven linen, and its sockets of bronze. All the utensils for the tabernacle, for all its service, all its pegs, and all the pegs of the court shall be of bronze. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. This week we come from the bronze altar, which was right outside the holy place, all the way out to the outer border of the tabernacle court, where we have these hangings. And there's a pillar every few cubits, and then the hangings, and the hangings are 5 cubits high, which is about 7.5 feet. And so, you know, a foot taller than Peter. So maybe if Ezekiel or someone taller sat on Peter's shoulders, they could just barely see over the top of the hangings that were around the court of the tabernacle. Now, the court itself communicates the spaciousness of this tent area. It would be clear to Israel who was the king in the center of the camp, because you think about how many people there were in the camp. It's unlikely that they were well spaced out. But this tent precinct was half the width of a football field and half the length of a football field, which sounds like it's half the size, but it's actually a quarter of the size, since you could fit 4 of those in. But it's pretty big, isn't it? Quarter size of the football field, with the hangings tall enough that certainly no Israelite, although perhaps one of the Anakim or one of the fellows from Gath would have been tall enough to look in. But the Israelites aren't giants. We know that because it was a problem for them that other people were giants. And so you'd have the height and the width and the length of it would communicate to them the kingliness of God. And it would also feature very strongly in the camp itself. It would be the tallest thing in the camp. So wherever the tabernacle was, wherever you were in the camp, you could look around, and if you had line of sight to it, you could see it, because it was the tallest thing. Nothing else would be tall enough to get in your way. I guess if you're extra short, everything's tall enough to get in your way, as Sophia probably knows, since everything is still huge to her. But the Lord is emphasizing his kingliness, the importance of his presence with them, the importance of the worship, and particularly the sacrifices through which access to the holy place was granted. And As you remember all of the different reasons for sacrifice and so forth, it would also be a hub of activity. So even as he gives us, you know, the height of the curtains and the length and width of the temple precinct, of the temple court, he is reminding us of and emphasizing to us the kingliness of God, the importance of his presence among his people, that this tabernacle complex, this tabernacle with its court and the precinct inside, there inside the hangings, would be the primary feature of the people of God. Just as our own worship and interaction with God, his dwelling among us, ought to be the primary feature of our lives, not only in the set times when we actually gather for worship or sit down for prayer and reading, but that we would always be able to have it in view, that the rest of our life would be lived in view of and in awareness of that aspect of worship. So there's the holiness and consecration of the worship time itself, and that communicates to us by its prominence and significance that we are to be consecrated to God in all of life. And even the dimensions of the tabernacle did that for them. It would, however, also communicate to them separation, that that this is a different world. And it's a world that unless you come through the screen, through the way that has been provided for you, and as you come in the east end there, the first great thing that you would see is the altar. You couldn't go into the Holy of Holies, but you could come with your sacrifice to the priest, and you would have the sacrifice, and they would enter the holy place. They couldn't enter the Holy of Holies, I just expect that. You couldn't enter the holy place, but they could, because they are priests. But this adds yet another layer, this very tall set of hangings all the way around the tabernacle adds another layer of distinctness and separation, which, of course, we feel even now because of our sinfulness, although by faith we know that we have come near in Christ, and one day we will be in the immediate presence of the display of his glory. And so there was this communication of separation and being kept out except for by special occasion. But there was not the familiarity or intimacy with God. Now, we don't have that anymore. We come all the way into the Holy of Holies, as it were, through Christ. And he has also overcome put away the feeling of separation, even by sending the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, because we are his children, as Galatians 4 says, and the Holy Spirit teaches us to call God our Abba, our Father. This doesn't diminish God's glory at all, and we must never be those who are casual with God or treat him lightly or take him lightly, and yet this closeness to him and this this nearness to him that we have is all the greater by its contrast to the separateness that he communicated even by the hangings that surrounded the court. And then closely related to the separateness is the specialness, even of the outer hangings, even of the outer courts. You have the hanging made of fine woven linen. Now, it doesn't have the blue and purple and scarlet thread like the screen does, but the screen does have the blue and purple and scarlet thread, and you have pillars and sockets made of bronze, and hooks made of silver, and all of this communicates, again, the specialness, the value, the holiness, the greatness of the tabernacle. And not just the holiness of the tabernacle itself. One of the things that I think is obscured a little bit by our English translation in verse 19 when it says all the utensils of the tabernacle for all its service, is it's not just pegs that you would drive into the ground to hold the pillars in place with everything stretched around, but even those were made of bronze. But it would include everything that was used for fashioning things from the tabernacle. So tools that were employed for the making of the different things, those also were to be fashioned from bronze. And so the specialness of this tent would communicate to them the centrality, the greatness of their God and his kingliness among them, and the mercy and the majesty of his presence with them. And of course, all of these things are not communicated to us by temple hangings, but by the fact that in order to draw near to us and have us draw near to him, God himself took on flesh in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that he has saved us is by uniting us through Jesus to Jesus through faith, that we might be adopted as sons in the only begotten Son, and that because we are sons, we have been indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. He has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and that communicates to us the significance and the holiness, the value of belonging to God and having him as the center of our lives, that we would not just think of him every once in a while when it's worship time, but that the majesty of his worship would shape how we think, how we feel, what we desire, our purpose in everything we do, that we would live consecrated lives as those who have been adopted by the Father, united to the Son, and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy to Israel, that long before they could have understood many of the things that we now know about how we are brought near, and even who it was who would be the Redeemer, still you were already communicating to them the greatness and of your presence among them, and the centrality, the importance of your presence among them, and the value of your presence among them. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to value you, appreciate you, adore you, respond to you. For if it was important that they would understand and respond to you with as much as you had shown them, how much more when you have sent your only begotten Son, and in him you have come near and brought us near to you. Surely, O Lord, we ought all the more to adore you and be aware of our lives being consecrated to you and to live that way. And so we pray for the help of your Spirit, that he would grant to us to know the reality of your having dwelt with us in the Lord Jesus, and having come and made your and his home with us by the ministry of your Spirit, for which ministry we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.